All right, we are here, and welcome. Welcome to Activating Motivation, Desire, and Passion. As spiritual beings, you have been created as a physical form, working in interaction with your spiritual self to create a life on planet Earth, a human life, and essential to your being able to function in this life is the management of your energy. There are two kinds of energy. The kind that comes with you, that is part of your divine nature, part of your soul, spiritual essence, is what we would call the spiritual energy. Now, the spiritual energy you access all the time. But if you want to engage with the world and do anything on the physical plane and do anything in your life, then you need to bring that spiritual energy into activation in your physical body. So the way it is set up in your physical body is that you have what are called chakras. You probably are familiar with them. We're only going to talk about the seven major chakras. They are energy vortices. Those of you who can see auras and see energies can see them as spinning wheels or spinning vortices in various parts of the body. The chakras, the major chakras, now there are quite a few chakras, but the major chakras are pretty much agreed upon by most mystic paths around the planet. And those are the root chakra, which is at the rectum, the coccyx area. And the second chakra, just above it, above the pubic bone, that's the sexual organs, or called the sacral chakra. The third, at the solar plexus, around the stomach area, the small intestines. The fourth, the heart chakra. The fifth, the throat, right there at that notch at the base of the throat. The sixth, at the eyebrow, that's at the top of the nose between the two eyebrows. And the crown chakra, which is actually not in the physical body per se, but is halfway between the physical and astral planes, and it's on the crown of the body, round top of the head. Right? Now, you have a energy channel that runs between all of these chakras, linking them together. It goes up along your spinal column and through and your neck. Right? Now this energy channel is what it is. And that is a place through which the spiritual energy comes into and functions within the physical body. The spiritual energy comes through two portals. The root chakra in the base. This spiritual energy here is called the Kundalini. And the Kundalini energy, a power, a force of energy, infuses your whole body with enough energy, power, light, etc., etc., for physical activity. And it grounds you. It connects you with Mother Earth. A lot of the energy of Earth, the physicalness of Earth, is tuned and honed on, shaped and so on, so that when the Kundalini comes in and enters there, it is bringing with it all the resources of the Earth as well. The Kundalini, by its very nature, starting there, very often seen as a coiled up serpent, releases enough energy for your life and living. It moves up your spine. There's an energy flow that is continuous, moving up through that energy channel, all through the, and touching and activating and energizing all the chakras, all the way up to the crown and out. And the energy moves out and goes up into to the spiritual realms, to the higher frequencies connecting there with your higher self, with your greater self, with your greater identity as the spiritual being that you are. In a sense, grounding above as well. The other portal of spiritual energy comes in through your crown. And this comes directly from the divine itself, from God, Goddess, all that is. It comes with the energies added of those who are your mentors, your masters on the other side, your spirit guides and helpers, parts of yourself that are greater than you, your spirit, your soul, your truest and most real and grandest self, all put in their energies. You're all the spiritual energies coming from the various planes beyond the physical plane, from the astral, causal, mental, and then from beyond, fifth plane and up, from the higher planes, from the divine expression. You are an expression of the divine through the spark that you are, unique that you are. Your energy will move differently from everyone else's energy. But this is the basic that is true for the physical form that you are working with in a lifetime. This spiritual energy enters in through the crown and moves down through that energy channel all the way to the root and out through that root chakra down to the earth, where it connects there. So you're connected from bottom to top and from top to bottom. And the energies move up and down simultaneously. There are spirals of energies that go up and spirals of energies that come down. Now, you have the option to harness this energy in whatever way you choose. As a child, you learned how to harness the energy to activate your muscles so that you could move your body, so that you could express emotion and you could cry if you were hungry. A simple, essential things that you began to learn how to work with this energy as it is flowing. However, as a child, not all the energies can come in, because as a child you're in a developmental phase and all the energies that come in are directed generally towards the learning and energizing of your body so that you can learn to work your body. It is when you enter puberty, when you begin to expand into the adult, hormonally, physically, emotionally, that greater energies then enter. You have greater resources. Now, you will learn throughout your life how to work with the three ways of harnessing that energy flow. The most simplest and most basic way of harnessing it is through desire. You're born as a creature of desire. Desire is natural to you. Desire is the longing for, anticipation of, and the seeking, emotional seeking, mental seeking, to find that which is greater and more wonderful as in life experience than what you have at the moment. Therefore, desire tends to be future-oriented. You long for something better than what you have. This implies an essential sense of dissatisfaction in your life. And we would suggest, if you feel dissatisfied, do not judge yourself about it. Because when you feel dissatisfied, you are ready for desire. It can activate and energize the initiation of desire. But you're filled with desire naturally. As a child, you desire to be held. You desire love and safety. For you, love is safety and nurturance and security. These are needs you have as a child. These needs you desire the fulfillment of all the time. So desire generally yearns towards the fulfillment of the needs that you think are going to make you feel more, feel happier, feel better than where you are now. As you become an adolescent, your world expands. And your desire then is for acceptance, for belonging. As you mature beyond adolescence into adulthood, your needs change. Your needs change into a sense of value and achievement and a sense of greater love in your life, greater creativity, greater expansion. The adult yearns and desires to express the divine. So as adults, you are continuously being drawn forward, being in a yearning or longing place to experience more of your divine expression, divine nature. To love, touch, heal. That's a connection. It's a connection to give and receive love. To give and receive healing. That's not necessarily just physical healing. It can be emotional healing, spiritual healing, mental healing. But it is a release of that which is lesser and the expansion to something higher. That is uplifting. To touch, to feel connected. It feels so good to touch and feel connected because then you do not feel the emptiness or the loneliness or the separation. So that is a yearning that is natural to every human being. The second of the divine expressions is creating with passion, to flow the energy. You know that when you have been in a state of exhilaration and joy, it feels like all the channels are open. Energy is flowing through you. It is celebratory. It is flowing through you like a river. There's no limitations, no stops, no stuckness. This is the second desire that you have as human beings, as spiritual beings, is to create, to imagine and dream and bring that into manifestation. And that manifestation manifests in two ways. That manifestation can be the energies, the state of being, and it can be the forms of physical objects and things and events. Manifestation is just not only the physical. And that is where, in Buddhist philosophy, they suggest, be desireless. We do not say that that means that desire is in and of itself bad. It is not. It is natural to you. But what the Buddhist teachings are about is about the attachment of desire. There are two attachments of desire. that can limit you. And these two attachments are to the forms of things and to fulfilling needs that you should have taken care of years ago. If you're an adult and you're continuously feeling insecure, insecure and unsafe, you've not fulfilled your childhood need. And that desire is small desire compared to what you're capable of and can snag you. If you can get attached to finding security and think of it far more important than it is. You can get snagged into attachment to things, to money, to prestige. To gadgets, whatever. You can get attached to them. And when you get attached to them, then you stop your flow. You don't want to be attached to the objects, the forms. You want to be attached, if you're going to be attached, to the essence. But it's almost impossible to be attached to the essence, to the states of being. They will naturally take you onward and upward. And the third expression of the divine is to learn, to grow, and to expand your awareness, your love, your appreciation of yourself as the light being that you are. To understand more why you're here, what you're doing, where you're going, who you are as the divine being. You have these yearnings for love, touch, heal, create with passion, and grow, learn, expand. Anything that you are desiring, you will find connected in some way to these. They could be connected to these through the fulfillment of needs. Yes, you do have certain needs. You do need to have some channel of supply and source so that you have enough money to live comfortably and do what you have to do. You do have that as a need. And it is very loving of yourself to see to it that that need is supplied. But if you attach to that the need for safety and security, a child need, or a need to be accepted, or a need to belong, then you're limiting yourself. You have greater needs, needs for beauty, needs for harmony, needs for spiritual expansion. You have greater needs. Needs to love on a humanitarian basis. Desire aligns the channels of energy in the direction that you want to go. All right? So desire is the alignment. And you need to have it. If you try to be desireless, you won't know where the heck you're going. Motivation is the urge to do something about the desire. Motivation is the urge to act. First, you have the desire. The motivation is what will get you up off your butt and go to do something about it. To make that phone call or to go to that place and do this or put that together. The motivation energizes your physical body into action to supply that which your desire points you towards. To motivate yourself on a kind of longer-term basis, you create what is called a dream. A dream is what really motivates you uniquely, who you are as the unique spark of light you are, precise, unique. You have different interests than other people. Somehow or another, you are attracted to certain things that are yours, a certain combination of interests in your life, a certain orientations that are pleasing to you. And so you are motivated to craft for yourself a life in which you have these interests activated. That's a dream for you. It's a personal thing. A dream is for your life, to have those pieces in it that can bring you, you perceive, that spiritual ecstasy, that expression, those three expressions of the divine. Now, if you become attached to the forms, the objects, the physical manifestations of that which you think will bring you true happiness, then you're motivated to obtain things, to have things. If you are not motivated for the essence of them as a spiritual being, but simply for the need fulfillment that is in there, you can experience the low or dark side of motivation. You'll be motivated, for example, by greed. You'll be motivated by control, to control others, to have, to get them to do what you want, to have done for you, to provide for you the objects, the forms of the manifestation that you want. And when you do that, you sidetrack from your spiritual path. And that motivation can also, in turn, create a dream for you that is a fantasy that you can fail to achieve. You see, if you're going for the essence of things, the states of being, the joy, the celebration, the feeling of value and success and love and the expressions of the divine, which are by themselves abstract, they are not concrete. If you yearn for the concrete things, thinking that will bring you these abstract things, these states of being, these joys and celebrations, you get limited. And in that sense, requires sometimes too much of your body. You can burn out. You can stress yourself. You can get stuck in the mechanisms of inadequacy, failure, weakness, shame, on all the judgments that are there. It's a trap. So that's why when you dream a dream, it is most important to look at the things that you have of interest, the things that mean something for you, that you enjoy, and not to choose as an interest something that will only fulfill a need, a child need, for example, or an adolescent need. Because if you do, you will fall short. And you know what you do to yourself when you fall short. When you do that, you stick the energy. You sludge down the flow through you. The object of success And the greatest celebration you're going to feel is when the energy flows freely and powerfully through all your chakras, from bottom to top and from top to bottom. Then you are in ecstasy. Then you are in bliss. And then all your gifts and your talents and your capabilities simply flow unimpeded. You can step into your own genius. You can dream a dream and attract to yourself magic. If you notice, we haven't said anything about passion yet. We get to that now. Passion is something that puts desire and motivation together. You've got to have those two working together first before you have passion. Because passion is a connection to a vision. Now, a vision is greater in scope than a dream. Passion is a sense of the urge and the activation and the motivation to experience the oneness, to experience spiritual ecstasy, to experience the incredible bliss of being in your divine self. And passion very often colors your whole world for you. It goes beyond you. It's connected some to a greater ideal or a greater dream, you might say, of the planet. It's a scope that goes beyond you. You're connecting and bringing information and energies from the divine through you and expressing them out. And it feels so phenomenally good that you want to be there all the time. Very often you feel passionate about things that are of extreme importance, significance, and meaning for you. And it's unique to you. You will not feel passionate about the same things as other people. You may feel very passionate about people telling the truth and standing up and taking responsibility. And when somebody is irresponsible, you can get really angry. Whereas another person goes, oh, yeah, all right, whatever. And you wonder, how in the world can you just dismiss it? Well, they are not passionate about the concept of it, not passionate about what it means to be responsible and speak the truth. There is an ideal there that yearns to be connected to for you. You stretch for it. You yearn to bring that ideal, that priority, that preference into your life. Some of you cannot stand to have another person to watch and two other people and have one of those people manipulate, control, and belittle and humiliate the other. Even if it's none of your business, you just charge in there. No, you don't do that. That's a sign of passion. Because if that is something that is really dear to your heart, an ideal of your spiritual nature, that's very important for you, and you see that it's very important for the planet as well, you'll have that feeling. You'll feel responsible yourself to step in and to say something. That's a high level of desire and motivation, energized on a higher frequency towards the ideal with passion. Some of you are creative artists, and you can feel that passion when you create. To create, one of the divine expressions, gives you a closeness to God, Goddess, all that is. That's the bliss. That's the ecstasy of creating. Now, if you are, when you activating your motivation, attached to form, that I'm going to create this the great American novel, for example. And this novel is going to teach everybody about life. And it's going to be wildly successful, and it's going to make me millions of dollars in a great leading motion picture. And out of this, I'll create this fund that will support this particular group of the population to lift beyond their shackles into great grandeur. You might lose your passion. Instead, fall into the rage, the powerlessness, and even bitterness and judgment. Because you're looking for the form of a need that is too small. The need for approval, the need to achieve and be admired, valued. Finally, people will listen to me. They've ignored me all along. I'm going to go to my high school reunion and give everybody the bird and say, hey. You laughed at me. Ha, 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 I'm laughing at you now. Look at me. An adolescent fantasy. Many movies have been made on the topic. Well, most movies are adolescent fantasies anyway. But if you create for the joy of it, for the passion to get close to God, for you, then what you're doing is essentially the most valuable thing that you can be doing in your life. Even if no one else knows about it or approves of it. So what? That passion, a greater and grander view. And what this does is this moves that kundalini in your body. It moves that into the proper physical, muscular movements, thoughts, feelings, all the stuff you need to get it activated and manifest. You have a fabulous system. You've set it up to have a desire, to engage your motivation. And if it is something that is part of your ecstatic bliss program, if it's your divine program, you add the passion to it. Now, if you lose your desire, your motivation, and passion, you will not be happy. You've noticed, right? If somehow or another it gets lost or you can't really hold on to it, your life just doesn't have as much brightness to it. It gets dull. It gets limited. And you fall into darker states, darker reactions, darker levels of being. You only do that because that's what you're trained to do. Your reality, your society, has this flow of energy. It is just kind of a combination of everybody's thoughts and feelings and so on. A flow, a river of energy called the consensus, the mainstream. And there's tremendous pressure for you to align your energies with the mainstream, because there is a flow in the mainstream. There's already a dynamic flow there. The desire, the motivation has already been set up. There's certain channels of flow. But unfortunately, the consensus flow is twisted and distorted by unresolved needs from childhood and adolescence. So if you go into the consensus, into the mainstream flow, without thinking, without really holding your own light, your own expansion, your own resonance, without aiming towards the expression of your divine nature, you can get lost in the motivation and desire patterns of the consensus, and you can lose your own desire and motivation. It becomes less important. You diminish it. You say, well, I guess I can't get to that now. I have to do this because this is going to get a reward. And if I do what I want to do, I'm not going to be supported. I'm not going to get a reward. Nobody's going to value it or value me or da-da-da. So, okay, I guess I got to go for the consensus. And this has been the downfall for many. But the consensus has its bright spots, it has its successes and its dreams and its visions. And some of them are beautiful and some of them are tragic and mean and distorted and ugly. And so many moving into that mainstream find themselves stuck in routines and deadening daily patterns. And if you get stuck in routines too many times, trying to appeal to the consensus energy to flow you through to success, you'll lose your own desire and your own motivation. Or it'll stay stuck in child mode or adolescent mode. You will not succeed. And what do you do when you do not succeed? Do you judge yourself? Do you resent others and feel jealousy of those who seem to succeed so much more easily in the consensus and yearn to be like them? What do you do? You see, this takes your desire and motivational stream. And by discounting it, by taking away the value of it and giving that value to the consensus, mainstream flow, the river of energy that the mainstream has, where you fit in, where you seem to belong, kind of, adolescent need, where you don't seem to be too much the outsider, where maybe you could get some support, you'll lose your connections to your desire, your motivation, and most importantly, to your passion. Your passion then becomes just a beautiful fantasy that sits up on the shelf someday. A someday fantasy. Someday I'll do this, this, that, and the other, and my life will be grand and glorious, and I'll be able to contribute this great thing to the planet, and I can help heal the planet, or I can help heal my family, I can help or do this grand thing or that grand thing, or I can feel wonderfully healthy and vibrant myself one of these days. I'll be able to share and love and be that light. But I have to put it over on the shelf for now, because there's all these other more important things to deal with, like, you know, paying the mortgage or the rent and, you know, and having to go to the dentist and having to do this, having to do that, and getting the shopping and getting the food and preparing the meals. Oh, yeah, and I've got to have a good enough sleep, and then I've got to do the laundry. My gosh, when am I going to do anything beside that and work? Where's my passion? Where's my desire and motivation? And so you wake up in the morning and you have to motivate yourself from, in a sense, an externalized force, an internalized version of it, You have to get the consensus in your bedroom to drag you out of bed, to get you out in the river of energy. That is the consensus, the mainstream. And how do you do that? You do it by guilt. You do it by fear. You do it by coffee. Whip those adrenals. Then you can tolerate doing all sorts of crap. It's no surprise that the whole Western world is addicted to coffee. Can you go into any corporate office and not smell the coffee in the morning? Why is there a Starbucks on every corner? Or perhaps there used to be before the recession. People motivating themselves for the consensus, for the mind-numbing, emotionally numbing routines of daily life. Does it really motivate you to get out of bed to do the laundry? Not generally. Does it motivate you to get out of bed to create something wondrous that you're going to salivate over all day and you're going to get into this fantastic place and be in ecstasy and bliss? Yes. But the problem is that you got these two states at opposite ends of a polarity. It's a quandary, a dilemma. How do you have both of them in your life? You've been told indirectly, no one ever came and pointed a finger at you and told you, but you were told that you had to make a choice between these two, between your own desire, motivation leading into passion, that which gave your life a higher meaning, a joy and an ecstasy, and what the world wants and needs of you. Now, admittedly, you have been aware of this choice, and you've been working on healing it, releasing it. This is what we wish to work with you on today, so that your own desire and your own motivation is not subject to the consensus desire and motivation for you, and that you can live your routines of life with elegance. You see, elegance has a certain grace and flow. There's an ease that comes with elegance. Things just unfold in a wonderful, natural way. And you know, when you're on, when you're really in the flow, isn't that the way things happen? They're just the synchronicities, things just pop, 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 and things just flow, and they kind of get done, and wow, this is really cool. No limits, no restrictions. The energy is flowing. I feel good. If you can get that energy going, the states of being in your daily life, even the routines, the mundane routines that you must do, no matter how time-consuming they appear to be, if you will establish that value and light back in yourself for your desires and your motivations, not for forms, not for concretization of things, but for the states of being, you can live your life in the state of being of ecstasy, regardless of what you are doing. Now, we do admit that at some point you will have to do those things that are the expressions uniquely of yours, of your passion and of your desire and motivation. Those channels that you want to build and create for your energy, separate from the mainstream. If you were just doing that which the mainstream wants you to do, you'd be a nice little machine. Yes, productive for society. You would get up in the morning, have your coffee, go to work, earn a salary, or by hour income. And when work was over, probably late, you would grab a bite, come home tired, say a little something with your family, sit in front of the TV and watch a show with your family, kiss everybody and go to bed. In the morning to get up, well, yeah, you kiss everybody in the morning too. And you start all over. A nice little machine. Always behind a little bit in your bills, always having to keep up that mortgage payment and make sure that you work enough so that you cover all the bills so the kids can go to college and blah, blah, blah. Now, don't diminish that life, but what if you as a reality creator, as a master light being, can imagine living your life as that divine master in full consciousness and full choice? I choose now to go to work. I choose now to take this bread and butter job, or I choose now to do the laundry as a light being. What would that be like? You know that old adage of the East. What do you do before enlightenment? You chop wood and carry water. And what do you do after enlightenment? You chop wood and carry water.
You just choose to do it.
But you're in a state of bliss and empowerment and light as you do it. You're doing it as the divine being. This is the key. This is the secret. You being able to not only hold on to and connect with your own desire, motivation, and passion, but to be able to activate them at will. To have that sense of direction, that sense of moving forward towards the greater and the grander of you. That sense of growth and expansion. It's exciting. It's thrilling. If there was no growth and expansion possible for you out there, would you be motivated? No. I might as well just stay in bed today. Pull the covers over, turn over. Okay, bye world. Until they came and dragged you out of bed and said, you know, you're being thrown out of the house because you're not making your payment. Desire, motivation, and passion have been seen by the consensus, by the mainstream, as being only useful when harnessed for society or for those who wish to make a lot of money off of you. You are part of the masses. Even if part of you resents that, you know that that's where it's at in the consensus. There is no ruler of the world. As much as all the movies like to have the villain, I'm going to take over and dominate and control the world. There isn't anyone who can do that. It's a fantasy. Because people are taught that if you can fantasize something like that, oh, I'm going to be on top of it, I'm going to make millions, or I'm going to be taken care of by someone who has billions of dollars, and I'm going to run this great trust or this great benevolent association, and we're going to do great work for the world. You're stuck in the consensus. That great work in the world only works if you're in your own desire, motivation, and passion. The consensus reality has also taken that sense of the future, the grand future, and twisted it and distorted it, so that many of you are driven towards the future and lose connection with the now, lose connection with the present. After all, the present is kind of painful if you don't have your desire, motivation, and passion flowing. It's almost painful. It is painful to not be who you are. But what the consensus did to remove from you your desire, motivation, and passion was to tell you that there is an important future that's up there ahead where you're going to achieve and where you're going to finally succeed. And you've got to keep striving for that. The future defined by the consensus and the mainstream. And so you don't think the now is important. You rush through the now, hurrying up, trying to succeed for that future, trying to make that future work, trying to get it all done so that you can succeed and finally get that future done. So you can finally get the rest. You can stop and say, ah, okay, I did it. I'm here. This is the illusion the consensus gives you. Because, dear one, the now, the present, is the most important. It's where everything is. It's where the divine is. It's where you are. It's where your desire, motivation, and passion unfold. It's in the now. Yeah, it's fine to have dream and vision. What you're looking for is the essence, the spiritual essence, the context, you might say. That you can have now because it is essential. It is essentially true that in the moment, if you can be in the moment, if you can be in the present, if you can be present with yourself, you can experience the bliss of the oneness. You can be you in the present. Your whole culture is based on the present is not successful enough. You're not good enough. You're not valuable enough. You've got to keep working until you are valuable enough and important enough and meaningful enough and you achieve enough and you do enough and you get enough approval and your needs are met. Pulling you continuously out of the present towards a future determined by the consensus, not yours. If you line up with your future and you stay in the present, you can do any sorts of consensus stuff. You can do anything, any routine as a light being. You can do anything in bliss and ecstasy, anything. If you learn how to be in the present, how to be here and now. Why is Eckhart Tolle so popular? He wrote a book on now, the power of now. Be here now. Obviously, Ram Dass did one back in, what was it, the 70s somewhere? Be Here Now was the name of it. Message is not new, dear ones. But the consensus says, oh, you stupid people, be here now. All you're doing is just sitting and looking out into space. You're not being productive. You're not making enough money. Who's gonna love you? And it eroded you. It eroded your passion. It eroded your desire and your motivation. Because you could not fulfill your needs or you didn't think you could here in the now. We want to tell you today, you can. You can be free. Regardless of what external circumstances you do, you can take off the pressure, off the burden, off the trauma. You can lift it off of you. You can connect to your desire, your motivation, and your passion. You don't have to stay in disappointment, in frustration, waiting, 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 until that magical day that you finally get to some point where then you can finally connect. Then you can be in the now, right? No, now you can be in the now. You came to be masters of reality. Masters of the physical plane. And even if you doubt right at this moment as you listen to us that you can get there, that you can feel that experience, that you can be there. This particular lifetime is one in which you chose to incarnate at a particular time and place, to be at a particular age as the unfoldment of consciousness occurs, so that you have the opportunity and the empowerment and the readiness, and then you can step into this place. This was not available in other lifetimes. Hence, you're here now. You wouldn't come here now if it wasn't available or impossible for you to live as a master of your reality. Oh yeah, the consensus reality has done a lot of damage. It's beaten you down pretty good. But you keep getting yourself up and dusting off and moving forward. And you've grown a lot. You've done a lot of spiritual awakening, a lot of spiritual work. You're not newbies, all right? It's time for you to step into your own light, your own effulgence. Time for you to radiate your light to the world, to share your dream, to share your vision. So empowered you are. So magnificent you are. That it's taken you either many lifetimes, or lifetime imprints, or experiences all over the universe, wherever you've been, to prepare you for this opportunity to come into the physical body. You are a light master already, but you decided to take on the limitations of a human life to create a new pinnacle of experience, to share it with your world, and to change the illusions. Yeah, the illusions were basically created by you. You thought that would look real exciting and fun to play with. You wanted to play with the illusions because you wanted to learn how to create. You wanted to learn how to love, touch, and heal. You wanted to learn how to grow and expand in this environment in which you didn't know that who you were. But you're going to bring, through your growth and expansion of yourself, into connection with your divine self. That is your journey. That's what is important. That's why you're here. It's not to be of service to the world. Though you may choose an avenue of service, it may feel passionate for you. But don't take service just because a consensus reality says, oh, that's really nice of you. Good girl, good boy. Service is not your essential motivator. If you motivate yourself by service, you bought into the consensus. Service is what happens when you do that which you are moved to do as a spiritual being. And you will give service plenty. That's why some people feel it's very selfish for them to be creatives and do their stuff. Oh, I've got to get this out into the world and make a difference out there. Then, no. That motivation of service is really on the other end a look for approval. Service essentially is doing what needs to be done. In a beautiful way, in a loving way. And it comes as a result of, and not the initiation of, energy of desire, motivation, and passion. So if you think that you're motivated to help people and save the planet, you got to rethink, okay? Your motivation starts with you. and you're enough. You're good enough. You're valuable enough. Just by healing you, you can heal your planet. It's kind of a concept you don't really often get. You don't sense it. Every now and then you may get it when you step into a greater sense of yourself. You realize how important your perceptions and your reality and your expressions are. If you can do it, the whole planet can do it. Not because it's stupidly simple. Yeah, if you can do it, everybody can do it. Sure, yeah. No big deal. No, it's about if you can do it, then you've shifted the dream for the planet. You've shifted the vision of the future. And you do it through consciousness. You are all one. You're all linked. And if any one of you in the link up has lost connection with desire, motivation, and passion, then you've slowed down in your own sense of time. You've slowed down the healing of the planet because you haven't healed yourself. You're that important. You're that critical for consciousness. And we truly appreciate that you are listening to us today. It is an expression of your innate desire, motivation, and passion to fulfill yourself. And the way you do that is by expressing your divine nature, the love, touch, heal, the create with passion, and the learn, grow, expand your awareness. So, think about, we're going to take a break. So think about during the break, kicks in desire? What desires do you have? And don't try to edit what comes to you. You want to see just what you've been doing with your desire. Have you been desiring the forms that you think will give you safety and security, approval, belonging? Are you motivated to get attention from other people, which you translate as love? Isn't that what a child does? If you give a child attention, the child thinks you love him. And you find adults, grown-ups, you might say, going around getting lots of attention. Me, me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And when they get attention, okay. Then I'm okay. I'm approved of. I'm loved. Now we're saying don't go out there and draw attention to yourself. But be sure of the context within which you do. Look at the desire. How do you attract love to you, which provides safety and security? What compromises have you made in your desires? What compromises have you made in your motivations? What gets you up in the morning? How do you get yourself out of bed doing the stuff you gotta do? What self-talk do you give yourself? Or do you say, okay, just get to the kitchen and get your coffee, and then you'll be okay. Or take this pill, you'll be okay. Just do that, then you'll be okay, you'll feel better. You'll be awake, you'll want to do stuff that you don't want to do right now. Just look at where you are. Don't judge it. If there's some really good parts in there, wow, look, I actually am motivated by things beyond, by beauty and love and truth and oneness. without any thought to what anyone else thinks about me or whether I make any money off of it or not. You know, it's okay. But don't get into an egotistical approval of yourself there. Oh, look at me. Ha ha. I did it. I've got the right motivation. Just observe what goes on as you look at your own desire and your motivation. Don't even start looking at passion yet. We'll do that later. Okay? You want to look at your own life and how you move your energies. If you don't move your energies, they're going to get stuck somewhere. And the way that you can tell when they're stuck is that you're going to have emotional issues that'll continuously come up in your life. You could have physical problems. You could have circumstances that just continue to frustrate you. That's how you can tell you're not in sync. Just, you can imagine throughout this day what your life's going to be without all that. Without all the blocks and the stuck energies. Without the misdirected, misguided, twisted, distorted energies. You're going to find out. But look at where you are now. Desire and motivation. So we're going to take a break. We're going to take, 20 minutes? 15 minutes. A 15-minute break. Right? And then when we come back, we'll talk with you in a question and answer format where we can explore some things that perhaps you have discovered. Be questions on this topic. All right, dear ones. So later. Farewell.